broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 14th. In the year of our Lord, 2009, this, my fellow Americans, is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We respect the checks and balances. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. All right, a quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. You know we're live Monday through Saturday, right? 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, hard-hitting news virtually around the clock. Anyway, on Saturday we had a tremendous broadcast, two incredible guests. Guest one, G. Edward Griffin. Yes, he is author of the incredible book exposing the Federal Reserve System for the fraudulent banking cartel that it is. And G. Edward Griffin wrote a book called Creature from Jekyll Island. He's also the founder of Freedom Force International. He's also the creator of Red Pill Expo, redpillexpo.org. Now, I don't know if you know, but the creature from Jekyll Island, they call it a second look at the Federal Reserve. It's already in the fifth edition by G. Edward Griffin. And you say, Sam, why is it in the fifth edition? Because he continues to discover more pay dirt on the fraudulent Federal Reserve. That's why. Tremendous book. That's where I cut my teeth back in 91 on this stuff. I'm getting completely caught up on what was going on there. And then after I got all caught up, my buddy Hans Anderson literally talked about how he headed up a federal grand jury in the 80s and indicted the Federal Reserve for their criminal activity. But the judge just simply dismissed it and called it a runaway grand jury. What a shame. Judges should have been impeached back then when they violate the law, and they should be impeached today when they do the same thing. But I digress. Suffice it to say, G. Edward Griffin was our guest. Our second guest was a man that sits on his board, a fellow talk show host, if you will. His name is Dan Happel. And Dan Happel does a radio program called Connecting the Dots. He does it on PatriotSoapbox.com. And Dan Happel, H-A-P-P-E-L, is his last name, Happel.com. Anyway, these two incredible guests were on talking about Red Pill Expo coming up. And then they basically say with the Red Pill Expo, why? Because you know something is wrong. And truth seekers need to understand how the world really works. Red Pill Expo, wow, .org. Now, we talked about the fact that one of their speakers says prescription drugs kills more people than wars. Richard Rowling, he's a medical doctor. He's going to speak. We talked about the amount of speakers in a two-hour interview, right? G. Edward Griffin and Dan Happel on your radio with Sam Bushman last Saturday, two-hour blockbuster interview. We talked about the incredible speakers that will be appearing at Red Pill Expo coming up on November 8th and 9th. Ammon Bundy, Richard Mack, okay? G. Edward Griffin will speak some. There's going to be a surprise appearance from a time traveler from the past, interviewed on stage by Dan Happel as well. And the topic of that conversation with a blast from the past will be this. So sad you did not follow our written instructions, referring to the supreme law of our land. By the way, we finished up the two-hour incredible blockbuster interview with, are you familiar with needtoknow.news? It's a website. It is G. Edward Griffin's personal news curation site. It's where G. Edward Griffin himself goes out and looks all around the globe, all around the internet, to find the news stories that are relevant, important, to need to know, if you will. And then he writes a little paragraph in summation of the news story. And then you see the news story, whoever it's from. But the summation paragraph not only articulates why he selected the story, but gives you the handle on the story that constitutionalists would have. In other words, honest media people would have. I am telling you, it is incredible. So, Blockbuster interview last Saturday, LibertyRoundtable.com. It is archived and available for you to listen. And I'm telling you, spread the word on that, baby, because G. Edward Griffin and Dan Happel and yours truly, we knock it out of the park. I'm telling you, great, great two-hour interview. We're also working on trying to go to the Red Pill Expo, folks. And the reason I tell you that is because it costs money for us to go on the road and travel. I normally run the show as the producer and the board op and the voice all in one. I do kind of, you know, a bunch of jobs over here. When I go on the road, I got to have somebody else fill in the studio side of things for me, right? So we got to, you know, have somebody paid to do that side. We also got to go on the road and get hotels and travel and cost and food and, you know, parking fees. And I mean, you know, it just adds up, right? So if any of you have the heart to help, if you have $100, $50, $25, and you're willing to say, you know what, I really want these guys to broadcast live from the Red Pill Expo, then please donate today. Every penny will be used for this purpose, folks. We don't play games. We have day jobs. We're not begging for you to feed us or support our families while we won't work. We work a full-time job and more, and then do this radio program 6 days a week, 2 hours a day on top of it, because we believe in America that strongly. We are that dedicated to our sacred cause. Now, we just need your help, though, to pay for, you know, the servers to run this network. We need your help to help us travel on occasion. You know, we did broadcast live from the Republican National Convention. Oh, yeah. CNN was there with us, bringing us water and food. And I mean, it was great. We were there right in the thick of it all, man, interviewing all kinds of high-level people. And we also were at the Republican National Convention of Donald Trump as well. So, you know, we go places from time to time. We don't go very many places because it's really expensive and we don't have the money. But we do pick and choose places we think we really, really ought to be. And this last Saturday, 2 days ago, while we were interviewing G. Edward Griffin, we should have been in Phoenix, Arizona, Mesa, Arizona, with Richard Mack and the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. They had a tremendous event. Normally, I'm at those events, but this time I'm just so buried. I just didn't have the ability and the money and the time to go. But they had a tremendous event. And the next one will hopefully be in Utah. We're working on that, too, by the way. Anyway, I digress, except to tell you that every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media, tell the tale, report live on scene, and more. And your donations are absolutely greatly appreciated. We consider you our family, the movers and the shakers, the people who make news the networks refuse to use possible. LibertyRoundtable.com. Right, without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun. He's even doing the show from on the road. That just shows how dedicated he is. Welcome back, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect.
I'm here on my cell phone.
You sound marvelous.
Wonderful.
All right,
wonderful.
Well, without further ado, we got a lot to cover. Quickly tell everybody why you're in St. George, though.
I'm down here for the senior game, Sam. We played 3-on-3 basketball last week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and beginning today, we'll go Monday through Friday playing 5-on-5 basketball. I'm in the 60-plus age group category, so we just get a bunch of people together, and we come down here from all over the country, actually. There's groups from Seattle, from Albuquerque, from Georgia, all over. We just get together. We play ball against each other, and see who comes out on top. It's good competition.
You know, my dad loved basketball, and he played basketball till he was probably 77 years old. And what was funny is he got good at shooting, and he could stand there and run people all over the court because once he got the ball, he could shoot like no other. And even when he got old and he couldn't run very well, he could sure shoot, and he still loved that game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, Sam. I tell you what, it keeps us in shape. You know, I've been playing ball, morning ball, 3 days a week for the past 25 years. Ever since I moved to Highland, Utah, I've been playing morning ball 3 mornings a week, and it keeps me in good shape. It keeps me fit, and this is just one of the benefits of coming down here and you know, playing in the senior games. It's just a lot of fun. Meet people year after year from all over the place, and you say hello, and you make friends, and it's goodwill across the country.
By the way, Kirk Crosby, I want to bring you in, too, because you have a hand in basketball. You like basketball, too, and you've been not only playing for years, but you've been a ref basketball-wise, too, right?
That's right, Sam.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything to say about basketball, Kirk? good exercise.
Well, you know, I agree with Lowell. It's good exercise. I kind of put that on hold after doing the radio program in the morning at the same time, basically. And so the participation I do now is what might be, like with grandkids and that kind of thing, showing them how to spin a ball on your finger or doing some of that kind of stuff, encouraging them to play. And then if I can riff, every so often.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have other interests is the point besides just politics. We're not always in your face and crazy. Well, Lowell's never in your face and crazy. That's just Sam. But we're not always only all about politics. So we have a lot of interests, and we want to give you a little bit of flash behind the scenes because we consider you our radio family. We want you to know who we are and what we do and a little bit about us. Speaking of that, there's a crazy petition out there to eliminate review and wing mirrors for your car. You say, what? A petition? Are you kidding me? Yeah, Tesla is in the news, Lowell.
Yes, the automobile company Tesla is petitioning the government to allow their company and everybody else, all the other companies basically, to eliminate rear view mirrors and exterior mirrors from the new cars in favor of in-car displays instead images by cameras. They say this will make things more aerodynamic and improve the efficiency of the car, but they don't say how much this is going to cost you.
And I make a living in tech, and there's a few flies in that ointment. Lowell and Sam and Kurt with the tales in seconds on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Listen to the wind
blow. Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, Tesla, the car company, and Tesla, the man, entitled to their own view. However, they want to force their view on the rest of us is the problem. They want to create a petition to eliminate rearview mirrors and side mirrors, if you will, or wing mirrors, because they say it'll be more aerodynamic and it'll save a lot of problems there. It'll be wonderful. It'll be awesome. But we see fly in the ointment, and the biggest problem I have with it is force. Lowell?
Well, think about the key to your car today, Sam. I have a Saturn, a 2001 Saturn, and I have a metal key, just like, we had when we was growing up. And I use that key to unlock the doors and to start the car. And when I put the key in the ignition, I turn the key, of course, and it starts the car. Well, my wife has a key fob with a Honda Odyssey that we have. And we had, you know, it only came with one fob, but we felt it was important that we both have a key to the car in case she loses one or locks it in the car. Then
or the batteries go out or somehow it just doesn't function properly, right?
Yeah, and so it cost us, Sam, it cost us a couple hundred bucks to get a second fob. You know, but if I went down to get a duplicate of my key, it would only cost me 10 or 15 bucks. And so that's like 10 times as expensive.
I think you can even get one for a couple of bucks at Ace Hardware, by the way.
Yeah, I bet you're right. You know, and these keyless remote keyless entry systems, they began to appear on American Motors cars in 1983. That's about 35 years ago. It operates on electromagnetic waves, basically radio frequencies, and, you know, that's how the key fob works, and they're everywhere nowadays. I mean, almost everybody has a key fob.
Well, yeah, I got a car that has one fob. The fob doesn't work completely right. We tried to get another fob. It's over $350 to get a fob for that car. It's like $328 or something like that, but by the time you get it shipped in or whatever, $350. The problem, in addition to only one fob, is that there's only one key entry, and the fob does things separate from the key in this case. But the key, there's only one keyhole on the driver's side. So if you go to the passenger side, you can't even get into that key lock. And the problem with that is if that key lock ever breaks, then you can't get in your car at all if the fob doesn't work. The old cars used to have a key, you know, hole on both sides and all that kind of stuff. And so they're limiting. The problem is it becomes very expensive and it becomes very unreliable is the problem, especially in winter or other times like that. It becomes very difficult. They don't seem to care, do they, Lowell?
Well, they're in it for money, Sam, and this is one of the things that if a car company can get the government to make a new standard, a new requirement, and enforce that requirement on all car companies, then the consumers don't have a choice. They no longer do we have a choice to buy a car with a normal metal key. All that's available to us as consumers now are cars with key fobs. And so you think about a rear view mirror or a wing mirror, that's again just 10 or 15 bucks to get a mirror either fixed or replaced or patched up with a piece of tape or whatever. And yet, if you get rid of the rearview mirrors, that means you're going to go with the cameras. Those cameras are going to feed a display, and that display is going to cost you $200 or $300. And so, why are the auto companies doing this? Well, they want more money. They want more things that will break down. They want products that will perform okay for a time, but then they'll break down, and the aftermarket. People in the marketplace can make money, and of course the car companies, they can make more money because you're paying more for the car because of all the cameras.
But I submit it probably for a display on your vehicle to get all that worked out too, and the tracing of the wires and the sensors and everything else, you're probably talking more like $1,000 if that display goes out or if things aren't working to get it traced and fixed. Because remember, one is just the parts, but the other is all the labor that it's going to take to do. And depending on how they engineer that, oftentimes they make sure the labor takes a while too, by the way they stack electronics and stack parts and things into the car. Oftentimes it's not just a simple thing as it could be. And they literally have mechanics with manuals that say, hey, this process takes 5 hours. They might get it done in 3 hours, but they still charge 5 hours for it as well, because that's the general recommended time that it takes for these things. And so there's all kinds of games being played. And, you know, when you were a kid, you could get a Volkswagen, a VW Bug for like $800 brand new. Now the average cost of a car is over $30,000 for a new car.
Yeah, it's crazy, Sam. Not only that, but the insurance costs will also increase because the cost of maintaining or replacing vehicles will increase because of this. So bottom line, folks, you know, Eric Peters is the fellow who wrote this article. He's in the automobile industry. He's a liberty-minded fellow, and he always stays on top of these kinds of things, this kind of information. EricPeterAutos.com is the place where I found this article, and I'm just saying that it's the collusion between big industry and big government which is hurting consumers. it will hurt us in this case, and it's going to hurt us in many more cases because of that collusion. The consumers like you and me, we get hurt, Sam.
Well, and I want to make this point. I understand if Tesla believes that's the better way to go. It's more aerodynamic. He believes it's more reliable and better and stable. And he has every right to think those things if he wants and advocate for those things. The problem is Tesla is petitioning our government to allow him and everyone else to eliminate rear view and exterior mirrors from new cars in favor of these images via camera. The problem is he'll literally lobby, petition, but eventually it will be a governmental mandate, lol.
Right. And whenever I buy a car, in fact, I bought that Saturn specifically. I said, I do not want power windows. I do not want power locks. You know, I just wanted everything just like it was when I grew up. I want to be able to roll down the window when the car is turned off. I want to be able to roll up the window, and I want to be able to unlock my car with a key. So, I mean, I asked for those things, and I think if enough consumers would continue to ask for the old standard things and not the new stuff, maybe the car companies would be dissuaded from this headlong rush toward electronification of our cars, Sam.
Well, their real goal is to price cars out of the range of most people to where you look towards government transportation. Did you know that transportation is part of the Communist Manifesto, government-controlled public, quote, transportation? And so that's really their end game, is to move you to that. And one way is they're going to increase the cost of cars, increase the cost of insurance, increase the cost of repairs, increase taxes for the road, increase gas expenses, etc. But it gets worse because private companies are now partnering with the cops to track your license plate. So they're going to even get you there, lol.
That's right, Sam. This article at 10thAmendmentCenter.com, it reveals that there are three major automatic license plate reader companies. They call these ALPR companies, automatic license plate reader companies. So these ALPR companies, they have created a huge, mind-boggling database of billions and billions of license plates that allow law enforcement to track anyone in real time. There's one company here, the Digital Recognition Network. They have a database of over 8 billion license plates, and they boast about sending customers, meaning law enforcement, about sending to law enforcement live vehicle location alerts. Quoting the article, it says, quote, if you think there's nothing you can do to automatically detect vehicles, think again. DNR's Live Alerts, part of the DNR Sites for Insurance solution, uses vehicle location data gathered from over 8 billion nationwide sightings, plus the 160 million gathered each month, to provide alerts when vehicles are detected. That's just one company, Sam. Vigilant Solutions, they have a web page. As it says, they have a database of over 5 billion license plates. And they say, we are the only ALPR provider that can offer over 5 billion nationwide detections and over 150 million more added monthly. And so you look at these websites of these ALPR companies, Sam, and they're boasting about their capabilities. Why are they doing that? Well, because they want to be the company that law enforcement chooses because of the money it will bring them. There's another company, Recur Solutions. They have a massive 30-state real-time license plate database that collects 150 million license plates every month. And they're boasting on their website. They say, quote, our software upgrades any IP, traffic, or surveillance camera into a vehicle recognition solution that can be used for real-time alerting of license plates. Not only does the software read a license plate number, but it also provides vehicle type, make, and color, something the competitors cannot do, end of quote.
Sam? Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I'm telling you right now, we can't let them collude together and create a tyranny. They're doing it, and they haven't even asked for permission, and they violate the supreme law of the land and our privacy in the process. They've been doing it for decades without even authority. No one seems to bat an eye, do they?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A black Texas woman is dead after a white Fort Worth police officer shoots her in her own home on Saturday. The officer was investigating after a neighbor called and reported that a door was open at the woman's home. That neighbor now says he's sorry he ever made the call. Police have also now disclosed there was somebody else in the room when that 28-year-old woman was shot.
An 8-year-old male, Miss Jefferson's nephew, was inside the room during this time.
A lawyer for the family of 28-year-old victim Tatiana Jefferson says the fact that they use deadly force in that situation is absurd. Emergency officials in New Orleans say they'll work as long as it takes to find a man they think may still be alive underneath the debris from the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel, part of it coming down on Saturday, killing two workers and trapping that third. This is USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, women entrepreneurs are poised to end 2019 on a high note, with 84% anticipating year-over-year revenue growth. Future revenue projections and expansion plans have reached 4-year highs and are stronger among women business owners than their male counterparts. Bank of America executive Sharon Miller shares her perspectives on the research.
Women business owners see a bright future for their businesses, anticipating revenue growth and expansion opportunities in the year ahead. However, there is still work to be done, as many say work-life balance, access to capital, and pay equality remain issues. They identified having more women in powerful positions of influence as a factor that could help pave the way for the next generation of women entrepreneurs. At Bank of America, we intend to do our part by providing the opportunities and resources women need to help launch and grow their businesses.
For more information about the Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight, visit bankofamerica.com.
There's strong bipartisan support for new strong sanctions on Turkey because of its incursion into Syria. Republican Representative Liz Cheney.
I think it's crucially important for the Turks to understand that there is broad bipartisan support here in Washington, D.C., that they've got to stop this incursion. We've got to be in a situation where we are very focused on the over 5 dozen, it seems, high-value ISIS prisoners. We do not want them to return. We do not want a resurgence of ISIS. President Trump's actions to defeat the caliphate were very important. But we've got to recognize the importance of making sure that we maintain our presence there.
She was speaking on Fox and Friends. Well, today is a federal holiday, Columbus Day. Most federal offices, banks, and post offices are closed because of it. A number of cities and states are celebrating it as Indigenous Peoples Day, honoring Native Americans killed during European colonialism. This is USA Radio News.
So Lil Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with us, and we're talking about these out-of-control license plate monitoring systems. Okay, the Digital Recognition Network, known as DRN, literally has a database of over 8 billion license plates. Can that be right, Lil? Billion?
Yeah, we're talking B as in boy, billions of these license plates in the database, Sam.
And I intentionally said million and then billion to highlight the point. Billion. Okay, how many people are even on the planet? Well, you know, there's a lot of cars, though, folks. There's cars for businesses. There's cars for people. There's cars for families. There's cars for, and there's a lot of vehicles out there with different license plates. They're tracking every single one of them in real time. The deep state is pushing to literally, control your life by knowing everywhere you go? Private companies are not so private. Private individuals, not so private, Lowell.
Yeah, these private companies are the ones, they have these databases, but then they're holding them out and advertising to law enforcement agencies that they have the databases, that they have the technology to provide this type of recognition and detection of your vehicle, wherever it is on the road. It goes by a video surveillance cam, then it's going to alert the police to your whereabouts. And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, heck, this will help us to find, you know, all the kidnappings and Amber Alerts, you know, and granted, it might help a few of those, but it's also going to give the government, and these databases probably will end up in the federal you know, the general government will probably have access to this information, whereas right now these companies are simply making proposals out to state and local law enforcement agencies right now. But, you know, a lot of these agencies, they operate on federal grant money. And so by and by, the general government is going to say, well, look, if we're going to grant you money, then we're going to want some payback here. We're going to want the data. We can want the information in our databases, too. And so before long, Sam, you're going to have the general government having access to this very same information, and it will be because there were local and state law enforcement agencies so hungry for this information that they get it themselves, and then they later pass it on to the feds. So that's kind of where we are in this surveillance tracking world we live in right now, Sam.
I don't even know how to respond to this because it's so tyrannical, but I want y'all to know this. This is why it's imperative to limit state and local police access to this licensed data. This is critical, Lowell, and people don't even understand that it's kind of gone under the radar, hasn't it?
It's true. There are several states who have moved legislation forward, actually, to limit the use of license plate data. In other words, they're holding fast to the Fourth Amendment protection, which guarantees that you have the right to be secure in your person, papers, and effects unless a warrant based upon probable cause is issued, right? I mean, that's when they can begin tracking you or stalking you. Basically, this amounts to stalking, nationwide stalking of people, Sam, without a warrant. That's what this is, Sam.
And let's be very clear, not only without a warrant, but not even with the checks and balances of a system. In other words, I don't know that legislative bodies have pushed for this or enacted this. They might have laws that are partially in support of it, but not the full scope. Courts have very strange, diverse rulings on the topic. In other words, this isn't codified law necessarily and or gone through the three branches of government in terms of checks and balances either. There's jurisdictions from the state versus the Fed. Those jurisdictions seem to be obliterated in the process as well. All the checks and balances that would protect we the people with these third-party, quote, private companies have been slaughtered on the altar of this, quote, need to know, the digital recognition network. This is why we've got to stop this. They're trying to, you know, really destroy our privacy rights, but none of the normal jurisdictional divides, state and federal, three branches of government, vertical and horizontal divisions, seem to be stopping this or standing in the way. They seem to have co-opted all of it into one great judge, jury, and executioner by precept or by before the fact even with this stuff, Lowell.
Well, yes, good point, Sam. And it's, you know, a lot of people, they think, well, if you do something in the public, then you are, you can't complain that someone's taking pictures of you if you do something in public because it's a public place, right? But this is different, Sam. This, you know, yeah, if I'm out in the park playing volleyball with my family and people want to take pictures of that, that's certainly a public thing. But with that person who is taking pictures in the park of a family having fun playing volleyball, then were to follow that family home, continue to take pictures, follow that family to the grocery store, continue to take pictures, follow that family back home again, continue to take pictures. You get the idea. That would be called stalking.
Well, and then get in bed to use that government codified as law or force or mandated, and then to use that data to target you for advertising, to target you for all kinds of other issues. And we've created judge, jury, and executioner all in one slabam on this, Lowell.
That's exactly right. And it's wrong for anyone to do that. We do have anti-stalking laws. It's illegal to do that. And not only is it illegal for a person to stalk another person like that, but it's also illegal for government to stalk a person like that. And so these automatic plate recognition companies are playing right into the hands of Big Brother. And we need to limit their access to license plate data. And we do that, Sam, by getting our state legislators on board and passing legislation that prohibits the use of this these data in order to stalk people around the state. Sam?
We must stop state and local police and their access to this data, ladies and gentlemen. What we really need to do is stop companies from gathering this data as well. It's not just a governmental thing. It's both in bed with one another, creating this tyranny, always on the altar of, quote, serving us. The deep state is pushing to kill the Fourth Amendment on that front and on other fronts permanently. Ron Paul with the details. Lol.
Yes, Ron Paul posted a column last week on campaignforliberty.org on this very topic, Sam. He begins, quote, "For over 2 years, we've watched the national media elite cheerlead for the Russian collusion charade as the deep state targeted a politician they hate just for the crime of beating their chosen candidate in 2016. They're now going for President Trump's jugular with an impeachment scheme that looks fully backed by the deep state." End of quote. Now, of course, Sam, Ron Paul has been writing and speaking and warning us for years that our republic will not last if we give our government authority to spy on us. If they can go after a sitting president, Sam, that they don't like, then they can go after anybody, Sam, you, me, anybody. Well, the good news, Sam, is that the so-called USA Freedom Act is set to expire at the end of this year. So we're right now in the year 2019. The USA Freedom Act is set to expire at the end of the year. So if Congress does nothing to renew its provisions, then the Fourth Amendment protections that all law-abiding Americans, it would be restored, well, on paper at least, those protections would be restored if we let this USA Freedom Act expire. So today, as you know, Sam, the Fourth Amendment is hanging by a thread, and the deep state is determined to collect your email, your phone record, your text messages, internet searches, instant messages, online purchases, Facebook posts, and every other social media post that you make. The deep state wants that. They want to collect that and store that in data banks and servers in these diffusion centers around the country so that they can attack you when and if they choose to do so. So the reach of the big government status surveillance powers over you and me, that really ought to scare every liberty-loving American to the core, Sam. And once the experts in Washington, D.C. know how we live, it's only a matter of time until they start trying to fix us by telling us what we can and can't do, what we can read, what we can watch, what we can think and listen to, what we can teach our kids and grandkids over and over. I mean, Sam, it's like, you know, the vaccine scam. It's like they think they know best and they think that everybody should be vaccinated. And so because they know best, they're trying to mandate that now. California, they don't have exemptions anymore. If your kids go to school in California, they have to be vaccinated. It's just crazy, Sam, what the big government wants to do to us.
Wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They're looking to promote all kinds of shenanigans. Some of this they want to codify into legislation. When it's government specifically, then they push for legislation to mandate it. When it's the corporate world, then what they do is they literally ignore it all. And, well, let's just say this. Laws aren't in step with technology advances. Therefore, they play both sides of the fence to steal our rights and betray our trust.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, we got to fly. We're running out of time way faster than we want to. Lil Nelson always brings such critical topics to your radio. So Ron Paul wrote an incredible column. The deep state is pushing to kill the Fourth Amendment permanently. Tesla pushing to increase the cost of cars and mandate certain beneficial realities, pulling the lever of government in the favor of his own company and the auto industry at the expense of the American people. No choice left is the idea. Anything else on these two critical topics or how they're trying to steal our freedom, Lowell?
No, we probably ought to head.
All right. So that's critical to understand, though, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to get active and we've got to be aware of what's going on. If we don't, we shall regret it. I'm telling you right now. Our U.S. military drops a bomb every 12 minutes, writes Lee Camp. This is a little bit of an older article, but we resurrected it because it's so apropos for today, especially when it comes to Syria. Lol.
Absolutely right, Sam. I like the perspective that Lee brings to the subject. He begins his article in these words. He says, quote, "We live in a state of perpetual war, and we never feel it. While you get your gelato at the hip place where they put those cute little mint leaves on the side, someone is being bombed in your name. While you argue with a 17-year-old at the movie theater who gave you a small popcorn when you paid for a large popcorn, someone is being obliterated in your name. And while we sleep and eat and make love and shield our eyes on a sunny day, someone's home, family, life, and body are being blown into a thousand pieces in our names once every 12 minutes. The United States military drops an explosive with a strength you can hardly comprehend once every 12 minutes. And that's odd because we're technically at war with, let me think, zero countries. So that should mean zero bombs are being dropped, right? And let's take a moment to wipe away the idea that our advanced weaponry hits only the bad guys. As David DeGraw put it, according to the CIA's own documents, the people on the kill list who were targeted for death by drone accounted for only 2% of the deaths caused by the drone strike.
Now say that one more time because the rest is innocence, lol.
Yeah, 2%, Sam. 2% of the deaths caused by the drone strikes are those people on the kill list, right? Well, I mean, there's a ton of problems wrong with this picture already, Sam. I mean, who gave the government the authority to have a kill list in the first place? Who gave them the authority to be, you know, judge and executioner all in one? And then who gave them authority to be dropping these bombs? Congress did not give authority to the government to do that. Now, there's a host of problems here, but it's just striking to me, Sam, that only 2% of the deaths caused by these drone strikes actually hit the intended target. That means 98% of the deaths are civilian deaths, people who are innocent. Maybe they're the ones who get the who get killed on when we go on these drone strikes. It's just crazy, Sam. More than 80% of those kills have never been identified. And the CIA's own documents have shown that they are not even aware of who they are killing.
All right, let's let Kurt Crosby respond to this. This is documented stuff. We're in a perpetual state of war, and we don't even feel it. We're in over 130 nations militarily. We train and arm and fund literally every conflict around the world, Kurt. Then we wave the flag.
Well, it's good for the economy, Sam. I mean, you got to remember.
That's, believe it or not, what they say.
Yeah, the military-industrial complex is alive and well and, you know, enjoys these business relationships, I guess you could say.
All right, there you have it, Lol. It is a tragedy. Any wrap-up comments from that reality check? It's very sobering, sir.
It's truly sobering. I just have to, I mean, Lee Camp is somewhat of a humorist. He says, that's right, we kill only enemy combatants. And how do we know they're enemy combatants? Well, because they were in our strike zone. Well, how did we know it was a strike zone? Well, because there were enemy combatants there. And he goes round and round. I mean, it shouldn't be funny, but that's the reasoning employed by the deep state that, you know, that is pushing all of this killing, all this drone strikes, all this bombing. And
let's be clear, this is under the Donald, where everybody believes that they've backed off and that, hey, there's a lot less war now. It isn't true.
No, it's not true, because Bush bombed more than any president before him. Then he was eclipsed by Obama, who's been bombing more people than any president before him. And he has been eclipsed by the Donald, who's bombing 12 you know, every 12 minutes, one bomb every 12 minutes, on average, over the first year of his presidency. This article was written, like you said, in 2018. So just in the first year of his presidency, he's putting down more bombs than any president before him, Sam.
Tragic but true. Poor George Tucker would be turning over in his grave, Lol.
And the reason this name caught my eye, Sam, because for years I've heard Dr. Scott Bradley speak openly and admiringly about St. George Tucker. He was a contemporary with the founders and the framers of our country. And so when I stumbled onto this article, I just had to read it, and I bring you just several of the highlights. Tucker was born in Bermuda, but became a Virginian through and through. I mention that because Virginians were really the centerpiece, some of the foundational characters of our country. When you think about all the Virginians and what they have done for our country, it's just truly amazing. Anyway, Tucker studied law at the College of William and Mary under George Wythe. And George Wythe was an educator who truly understand the common law, and was a fantastic man. We could spend an hour just on George Wythe. But anyway, Tucker, he studied law at that law school under George Wythe, and later became the director of that school. Anyway, he was an influential expositor of the limited government jurisprudence that located sovereignty in the people themselves, not the monarch, not the legislature, not the general government, but he located sovereignty in the people. And so that's significant, Sam, because remember, at the time, this was heretical notion, right? Everybody thought the king was the monarch, chosen by God to rule the country, right? But along came the Americans, and they had embraced a new notion that there is no king on this planet, on this continent, no king but God, and so everybody basically was a sovereign and had the right to live, to life, to liberty, and to property. So here's St. George Tucker, and, you know, one could argue that there were two basic visions for America. There was the Hamiltonian vision, and there was the Jeffersonian vision. Now, the Hamiltonian vision, and this was named after Alexander Hamilton, it's a nationalistic view calling for centralized power, industrial mercantilist society characterized by banking, commercialism, and a robust military. Its early leaders had monarchical tendencies, and the latter vision, the meaning the Jeffersonian vision, named after Thomas Jefferson, that involves a slower, more leisurely agrarian society, political decentralization, popular sovereignty and local republicanism. Basically, it's farmers over factories. Now, both of these schools of thought have claimed the mantle of liberty. Both have aristocratic elements, despite today's celebration of America as a democracy. On the Hamiltonian side, we include people like John Adams, John Marshall, Nobster, Henry Clay, Jefferson, camp. We place George Mason, Patrick Henry, James Madison, the mature version of James Madison, John Taylor of Caroline, John C. Calhoun, Abel Upshur. Boy, we could talk all day about Abel Upshur too, Sam.
Delegated powers. You're breaking up a little bit, Lowell. Just to add, delegated powers are the key here. Under the model that St. George Tucker focused on, the Jeffersonian model, okay, the compact view or theory of the Constitution, under this model, each sovereign independent state contractually and consensually committed to the idea of confederacy. Now, in our society, confederate, you think of the southern states and you think, oh, that's bad, those are the rebels. But a confederate means, or confederacy means, a completely different view than you might understand. Go look up the word. It means a group standing together for a united purpose. But the point is, they're contractually and consensually committed to this idea that we have the states that are sovereign and the federal government has very distinct, limited, and delegated, I'm going to say that again, delegated powers. This is critical to understand. I don't mean to take over, Lowell, but you're breaking up a bit. Let's see if we got you back.
Okay, yep. Employing the term strict construction, Tucker decried what today we'd call activist federal judges, insisting that every attempt in any government to change the Constitution, other than in that mode which the Constitution may prescribe, is in fact a subversion of the foundations of its own authority. Strictly construing the language of the Constitution meant fidelity to the binding basic framework of government, Sam. And, you know, we're just scratching the surface about what Tucker wrote, but I'm just so pleased to find other people promoting Tucker because of Scott Bradley, promoting him, that I just had to talk about him briefly this morning.
Yeah, and this, Sam, you know, George Tucker and Jeffersonian views really are all about what I talk about. It's about God, family, and country. It's about protecting life, liberty, and property. And it's about the checks and balances properly used. And I believe that understanding the checks and balances and insisting that they're applicable to today's society is one of the great keys of restoration. We really need to return to the vertical and horizontal checks and balances. That is the Tucker way, if you will.
Right, and by viewing our current state of affairs, we really come to understand that we have moved a long ways away from the view held by St. George Tucker and the Jeffersonian camp, you know, because we have moved to a centralized democracy, so to speak. We've moved away from the Jeffersonian view, and that has cost us dearly in terms of life, liberty, and property, Sam.
I do not believe we're a democracy. I do not believe we want to promote or defend or tolerate democracy. That'll run our country right off the rails. The founding fathers did not want a democracy. They said we have a republic if we can keep it. And we really have 50 republics bound together by a supreme cooperative or consenting limited federal government, primarily designed to deal with foreign nations and foreign powers and around the world. The states are to deal domestically as the federal government is to deal with international. Very limited, defined scope based on delegated authority. That's all topsy-turvy. We lost a lot of freedoms if the South fought the North. We need to come back to the principles that made America great. And it starts with understanding the vertical and horizontal checks and balances. And I'm telling you right now, St. George Tucker gives you the greatest guideline and detail on that. It is shocking how informed these patriots really were. Lowell, thank you so much. Travel safe. Godspeed, my friend. We pray you win your basketball games, and we will stand for the sacred cause of liberty. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.